One thing about singing is we receive words of encouragement and edification as we sing, such as 504. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day. Well, I'm busy every day. There's no doubt about that. Song's a motivation checkup to be busy in the kingdom of God. I want to read just one quick scripture, if you would. It's taken from Exodus 14, from our class this morning. Didn't quite get there. In Exodus 14 and verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Brother Vance has read for us, if you would, the verses 4 through 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes, from chapter 1 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Didn't have him read the entire text here. We could have continued on reading and it would have filled in some more verbiage from the writer Ecclesiastes. But the 11th verse says this, that there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after them. One thing that the book of Ecclesiastes tells us and reminds us is that whether we move forward or not, life moves forward. It just moves forward. One generation comes and another goeth. The earth rotates, the winds blow, the storms come, it just on and on. And the writer Ecclesiastes tells us that. So if you're really looking for a good pep talk and a good pick-me-up, read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's that type of book. So with those things in the background, I bring you a little bit forward, a little bit more. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, our lesson this morning is going to come entirely from Acts chapter 20. I may reference some other scriptures, but I'll pretty much stay entirely within Acts chapter 20. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, we have this text given to us. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. We're not even 6 months into this year, and the church here has faced some difficulties. While I have May 20th on the screen, May 2025 on the screen, we could actually even go backwards a little bit to late March or early April when Sister Sherry passed away. How important and she was to us and all that she did, and she did a lot behind the scenes that's probably not really known. But in May of 2025, the congregation received some bad news. That Ken and Barbara were moving after 21 years back to New York. And I don't know if it was ever said, but I'm going to say it. That's an impact on our congregation. Not only do we lose Ken and Barbara in their presence, but we lose a lot of knowledge, support, and strength. We lose a deacon that was serving the church. We lose a Bible class teacher that had so much knowledge to share and was sharing. We lose a speaker of the word who so eloquently brought such insights to the congregation. And that's reality. And that's what we lost. And it hurts and it stings. But it gave thought, if you would, to me. And I shared with Ken that unlike the context that we're going to look at here in Acts chapter 20, when the announcement was made, we did not know how long we had with them. Turned out we had a few weeks. But when Paul calls for the elders from the Ephesians church to meet him in Miletus, as he's here in the map, they're not going to have a few weeks. They only have a few moments. But what are some of the lessons that Paul talks about Because I got to thinking about really what we have experienced here. And I share with Vance that, you know, we just got to move forward. And in some way, we're going to move forward whether we like it or not. But we have, as a congregation, must move forward. We have to. And just like Israel in the wilderness, they're getting trapped in. They got their enemy behind them, and they got this bottle of water in front of them. And what do we do? And the Lord says, tell Israel to move forward. You can't stay where you're at. You got to keep going. So let's look at what Paul has to say to the Ephesian elders when they meet him. Let's start, if you would, in verses 18 through 21, looking at what Paul says in the past. Begin at verse 18. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plot of the Jews, and how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few thoughts here I want to share with you from these verses, and that is beginning with, you yourselves know. During Paul's second missionary journey, when he travels deeper into what we call modern-day Turkey, as he and Silas and later Timothy joins him in this travel, as they are working their way through, they are, of course, coming through and teaching the gospel. And some of these elders knew, or he says, you know of me from the first time that I set foot in Asia. Now, whether that was in eastern Turkey and some of these smaller cities where Paul and Barnabas originally went to, or whatever the environment he may be referring to, he says, you know how I lived. Because watch the character that Paul brings out. And of course, he's telling about himself, but watch his character that he brings out. Some suspect that there's a relationship between Paul and the elders that could drift back, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. That's not the point here. But it is a long time, and I'll give you some date stamps in just a few moments. But you see that Paul says, a first note is that serving the Lord. Paul's whole purpose in life was to serve the Lord. From the moment in Acts chapter 9, when the events occurred on Paul's way to Damascus, to later his baptism in Damascus, his receiving of the revelations directly from Jesus, to him beginning to preach powerfully that Jesus was the Messiah, and how his mission became the mission, if you would, to pick up the torch that Stephen laid down at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul, who later became Paul. As he took up that torch and he carried that torch, the light of the gospel, into both a Jewish world and then ultimately into a Gentile world, to talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about salvation. His whole life was dedicated to the service of the Lord. And we are fortunate through the book of Acts and through the various epistles that he's written for us to see some of the things that Paul lived and how he lived. And Paul talks about with humility. It's a word that he frequently uses in several epistles. In Ephesians, he uses it. In Philippians and in Colossians, he uses it. And here he talks about humility with tears and with trials. Paul did not have an easy life. We can read, if you want to, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1 And there's a verse over in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, I think it's verse 32, where Paul talks about the trials that he had. It was not easy. It was difficult. Life was tough for him while trying to serve the Lord. In serving the Lord, life was tough with him. And he calls out with tears. If you think about it, not every person that Paul talked to about the gospel accepted it. Not everyone believed his words. Many rejected it. And as he talks about here later in this verse, the plot of Jews, to the point where they would cause the rabble in the marketplace to create issues for Paul and the Christians because they didn't accept it. And here's the fact about the gospel, brethren. Eternity without God is eternity. Lost. Eternity with God is eternal blessings and joy and happiness. It's Paul who wrote over in Romans chapter 9, I believe it is, where he talks about his desire is for the nation of Israel, for their salvation, but they've rejected the way of salvation. And he would later say, I wish myself would be accursed or anathema. That is, if it would save the entire nation, then I would choose to be doomed. That's how important being a child of God is. And he talks about, as I mentioned, about the trials in 2 Corinthians 11. You can read that at a later time. Plots of the Jews happened oftentimes in a lot of places that he went. Acts 19, you could go there and you can read some. And he talks about verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Preached what people needed to hear, whether it was popular or not. And most of the time, it wasn't popular. Because he preached about changes in who you belong to, changes in how you live, changes in your character, changes in your responsibility, challenging the Christians who would become Christians that you can't stay where you were, you got to move forward. You got to become different. It's not acceptable to be baptized and stay where you're at. It's just like as if Israel goes through the Red Sea and says, hey, this is good. We'll stay in the land of the wilderness. No, that's not profitable. It's not where you're supposed to be. And Paul taught publicly. Acts 19, if you would. Go back and read that. 2 years he teaches in the school Tyrannus. He also goes house to house, teaching the gospel in whatever fashion, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting reading commentaries. I love reading commentaries because you get the written viewpoint of the person, the commentary that you're reading. And sometimes, when you read them, you have to kind of try to get your mind in how they're thinking here. But one of the commentaries I was reading was talking about kind of the order here of faith, of repentance toward God and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd almost think that the order is kind of backwards, but here's the point. To the Jewish people, they already believed in God. But one thing that they had to do was repent. John, in Matthew chapter 3, one of his first words, repent, was spoken to a nation who believed in God. But they had to repent. Later, Mark chapter 1, as Mark's gospel is a very, very fast gospel, Mark chapter 1, and in verse 15, Jesus comes on the scene, and one of the first things he says in Mark's gospel, repent. One of the very first things that Jesus says in Mark, repent. These were two people who believed in God, but just because they believed in God didn't mean that their lives matched what God wanted of the people. And so to the Jews, they needed repentance and to the Greeks. Yeah, they need a repentance too, but they need to know who Jesus Christ was. And so the Jews. The Jews needed to believe in Jesus Christ. Because and only in Jesus Christ is salvation. There is no other way for us to be saved but through Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I testify both to the Jews and Greeks, because the gospel is open to all. You got to have repentance, you got to have faith. You got to have faith in the Lord. And so Paul was looking back at who he was. And he says to the elders, you know about my character. You know who I was and what I have done and everything that about my life. You know what I have done among you. And so he goes to verse 22. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonments and afflictions await me. I'll stop right there. Paul, of course, meeting the elders at Miletus, he didn't want to get stuck in Ephesus. A lot of Christians in Ephesus, they didn't want to get stuck there. He's on a mission. He's trying to get back to Jerusalem before, if I remember correctly, Pentecost. He's trying to get back to Jerusalem before Pentecost, and he eventually makes it, and he makes it in time. But he's trying to get there. But he's constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Now, in your translation, my translation, there's a capital S there, which could possibly indicate he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But then again, it could also be a lowercase s, basically saying his motivation is, he's got to get to Jerusalem. And that was his motivation. He calls that out. But also keep in mind that you may not recall this, but Paul's got something that he's carrying with him back to Judea. And that was the collection for the saints. So he's really trying to get back to help get this collection that has been gathered by the churches back to the saints in Judea. And so whether it's a big S or a small S, the point being is he's saying he knows he's got troubles because, verse 23, the Holy Spirit has testified to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. I don't know what's coming, but it doesn't sound good. And in fact, the one place I'll jump to, if you want to jump over to chapter 21 and look at verse 11, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So a little bit later, this is actually quite a bit later because he's ended up in Caesarea when this happens. He's told, you're going to get bound and you're going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. So Paul knows things ahead don't look good. But notice his attitude towards knowing that things don't look good. His attitude is, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. What was Paul's number one goal in life? To serve the Lord, to do what Jesus had told him to do, and that is to go and preach. Look at the last part of that verse, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. His mission was going to a lost world and tell them about salvation, because at the end of things, what matters is not your success in life. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. Now I need to be busy in the kingdom. Verse 25, he says, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Those words almost echo what we heard in May. We probably won't be back. We won't see. So what do we do? We quit. We give up. We throw in the towel. We close the building off. No, we don't do that. That's not what Paul says. You'll see what Paul says here in just a moment, but he says, you know, I've been proclaiming the kingdom. You're not going to see me again, but I'm going to tell you this. I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He's already said something similar to that already, right? Profitable. Teaching what is profitable. And he says it again here, declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I didn't hold anything back. And let me suggest, brethren, sometimes let's not hold it back. Preach it. Tell it like it is. If we have character that needs to be changed, tell it. If we've got to be doing something different, say it. We have got to pay attention to the Word because it saves us. And if our lives do not align with the Word, as we look at it as a mirror to who we are, we've got to do something about it. You remember in Acts chapter 18, Paul's at Corinth. He's there preaching for a little while, and he's gone into the synagogue, and he's preaching for a little bit. And the Jews there just say, hey, we don't want to have nothing to do with this. We reject you, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. Paul says, well, then your blood's on your head. He uses that as, if you would, the metaphor is that, okay, you want to die in your sins? I've done what I could for you. You just go die in your sins. Paul's saying here, I've done all that I could. So let's talk about the future. Because it's now, and Paul, I'll say this in a way, Paul says, now it's your turn. Now it's your time. First of all, to the elders, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. So elders, I'm going to say, pay attention to yourselves. Because the flock follow your example. The flock watch you. The flock see you. And so there is a monumental amount of pressure, but you have got to pay attention to yourselves. Later on, of course, he tells Timothy he's got to pay attention to himself and his message, his doctrine, because it saves or will cause people to be lost, depending on what he says. And so, elders, I encourage you, pay attention to yourselves. Look after yourselves. And then he says to all the flock, to the congregation, you've got a significant responsibility. Because later he'll say overseers. The word will come up, overseers. That means looking after and caring for the church. What a responsibility that any man would choose to get himself and his character throughout his life to align, be able to serve in that capacity. And we need to be praying for our elders, that they lead and oversee us and care. Verse 28, to care for the church. That's what he's telling the Ephesian elders. You've got to be mindful of yourselves because you're caring for them. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. It bothers me to see all these denominational church buildings out there. It really does. That's a lot of lost souls. Because if people aren't being taught the truth, and they're not following the truth. Because people come along and say what people want to hear. And even Paul says to Timothy later, and he writes and he says that people will go off to things that tickle or itch or scratch their ears. Because it makes them feel good. We can't be in the business of making people feel good. We have to be in the business of making people see that we are here to serve the Lord in whatever way He has instructed. It's interesting that it's later on when Paul writes to Timothy, Paul starts naming names. Naming names. Philetus, Alexander, Hymenaeus. Now, I don't know these people. I just know that these were people that Paul calls out saying, these people are teaching false things. And I think two of them directly were teaching that the resurrection had already come. And it was upsetting the faith of some of the Christians. And Paul calls them out saying, you got to shut them down, to Timothy. It's later, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, but correct me if I'm wrong, that he calls out Phygelus and Hermogenes and some of the false teaching that they were bringing out. Paul names names in his writings because they were people who were trying to take people away from the Lord and teaching false doctrines. John, in 3 John, let's just call it verse 9, sake of argument. 3 John, verse 9. John calls out a man by the name Diotrephes. This man's running the church. John says, when I get there, I'm going to oppose him to his face. I've got something to say to him because what he's doing is wrong. Calling out. And Paul later says here in verse 30, and from among your own selves. That's scary. From your own selves, from within the congregation, from within the eldership, that perhaps some will rise and it says, speak twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That tells us that we can choose to stop believing the truth. And we can choose to live according to these teachings that are not accurate. And so the warning, be on the alert. And he says, remember that for 3 years I did not cease to cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. There's his tears again. Be alert. You got to be aware of these things. Be watchful. Verse 32, and I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Watch. What is the word of his grace able to do? Which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The gospel can get us right and keep us right if we pay attention to it and we follow it. And it promises us a reward in heaven. Someone said it this way. I got a note here. God, the gospel. Facts to be believed. Commands to be obeyed. Warnings to be heeded. Promises to be enjoyed. The content of the gospel. My time's quickly running out, but let me just share this. Lastly, he ends up saying to them, I covet no one silver or gold or apparel. Silver, gold, apparel. That's called riches. Okay? That's riches right there. We're fortunate. I got a closet full of clothes. Okay? Back then, if they saw how many clothes I have now, you're rich. Okay? Because back then, maybe the only clothes they had was the clothes they were wearing. And that was it. Silver and gold, this was riches. You yourselves know that these hands, you can almost see Paul doing it. These hands ministered to my necessities to those who were with me. What's he saying? I went to work. We know he's a tent maker, but he went to work. And I worked with my hands. And all these I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It was a constant message of Paul to say, you got to be looking after others, both spiritually, yes, but also physically too. And if it requires you to get out there and work and to work harder, look, I love this, working hard. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy going to work, and there is hard work even in the work that I do. And I know that there are some who labor literally with their hands. I think, Brother Horace, if I may use you for a moment, I think in your work, you're laboring with your hands. And it's not always easy to do that. But you work hard. For what reason? To help others. And so Paul says, as Jesus says, of course, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We can talk about that for a while, but I'll continue. And so ultimately in verses 36 through 38, we have these closing words. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Interesting the posture. They knelt down together. and prayed, and there was much weeping on the part of all. And they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all, because the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again.
Yeah.
It hurt them too. You know, the church at Ephesus, pardon me for just one moment, but the church at Ephesus, you know, can you think about the number of people that are named in the Bible that have been associated with the church of Ephesus? I'll give you just a couple outside of Paul and these elders, even though I don't know them by name, but even these elders. I'll give you a couple other. Apollos. I know we don't know a lot about Apollos, but Apollos ended up in Ephesus there at some point in time. We know that from the scriptures. And I think he was, if you would, he was just kind of like that traveling preacher, if you would. Very eloquent in the scriptures. He went on and did some wonderful things. We don't, not told of a lot of things he did, but he did some wonderful things, and he went about on there in Corinth. But the Ephesians church was familiar with Apollos a little bit. But also, let me tell you about someone else, Aquila and Priscilla. A wonderful couple. I think Charity taught ladies' class on Aquila. But Aquila and Priscilla, Jews who became Christians, lived in Rome, got kicked out of Rome, ended up in Corinth. And met up with Paul. They ended up in Ephesus together and they stayed there. It was Aquila and Priscilla who taught Apollos more accurately the way of the way of the truth. And then later on in the book of Romans, we find Aquila and Priscilla are back in the church of Rome. You know what that means? That means they left Ephesus. You think the church at Ephesus felt a loss when Aquila and Priscilla left? I suspect they did, based on who they were. So the church of Ephesus, like us. Sometimes we lose brethren. Sometimes people move on. So I'm going to just say it this way. Remember your roots. Look back. What you've learned, what you've grown. How have you progressed thus far? Realize life has its uncertainties. We know that. We don't know what the day is going to hold. We don't know what we're going to wake up to. But here's the important points. Pay attention to the word. Why? Because it can save us. So we pay attention to the word. We watch out for false teachers. We serve others. And salvation awaits for us. And we keep moving forward.